How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Hey, welcome to the show. Feeling good with Duddy. That's me. Let's go. What is happening? We are back. Episode 133, Feeling Good with Duddy. That's right. We did it. They always doubt us, but we always come through. They say, no way, 133. And I said, oh, yeah, you watch this. Here it comes, 133. Got my good friend Ruben here.
Hi there.
Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
We have a fun episode for you guys today. Gonna let you know about the shows we just had. Our last show of the year coming up. I got some fun shit stories for you. Got a new for since we've come back, but we used to do a fun segment called Fan Watch where I find fans talking shit on us online and then I talk about it. It's really fun. We're gonna do that. We got a lot of fun stuff. We're gonna do Weed with Ruben. I got Q&A from our listeners, so let's just get into it. All right, thank you guys so much for listening, coming and hanging out with us. If you have been listening and you are enjoying it, go on over to our Facebook page. We have a Facebook group called Feeling Good with Duddy on Facebook. It's a lot of fun. It's growing rapidly. Lots of cool people over there hanging out, people who listen to the show. So go on over there and sign up. And also, we do have a YouTube page. Every one of these episodes that we post, you can also go over to YouTube and you can watch the episodes there. A lot of fun. And to my subscribers on Instagram, I am very sorry. I haven't even been over there in a lot. I haven't really been on socials a lot. This usually happens every year around this time of the year, right when I get off tour. We're in the studio. I start to feel a little burnt out and I just kind of like shut off from socials for a bit, but I'm starting to feel better. I'm getting back into it. So sorry to my subscribers over there. I will be back on over there. We will have some fun stuff in the new year for you guys. So thank you guys for hanging in there. Other than that, we just got back from a quick little run. We were in Atlantic City. What was the casino?
Ocean Casino and Resort.
Ocean Casino and Resort. We have played there before. It's a really cool venue. A lot of fun. The crowd was awesome. Did you get into anything crazy there?
Atlantic City. It was, no, I did not.
Nothing. Yeah, I didn't either.
I like that boring hotel. It's cool. There's a really nice snack area in the lobby.
There is a nice snack area.
It's not just like your normal snack area. It's like very European. You can get a whole flatbread, or you can get like, you know, anything, pastries, and it's all pretty fresh. And it's open 24 hours. And that's like my favorite part of that spot, because, you know, at least if you need anything, you can get it from there.
You can go down there.
Yeah.
Get yourself a little snack. And then we had the next show was in Hampton Beach. But before that, we had a day off in Hampton Beach and we stayed like on the outskirts at a hotel. There was absolutely nothing around this hotel except for one restaurant in the parking lot of the hotel, which normally when that's the case, it's like an Applebee's or a Chili's or something like that. Yeah. This was a cool one. It was called CR the Restaurant. Yeah. And it was like this really nice kind of steakhouse just in the middle of nowhere for no reason. Popping. It was totally like, it was hard to get a table. Long story short, it was going to be a mellow night. We went there to have dinner. Ended up in my hotel room with a bunch of the dudes and a bunch of the crew guys, and we were wrestling in my room. And I didn't even really remember this when I woke up until like I started seeing guys the next morning. They're like, man, that was crazy last night. And you were like wrestling everyone. I was like, oh shit, that's right.
Don't get drunk.
You can't take me anywhere, I swear. Manhattans, when they get flowing. Tim has a great photo. Was that your photo? Yeah. Tim came out of the elevator in the hotel and me and Sean were just laying on the ground outside the elevator. Oh my God. And he has this photo. We'll post it in the video. So if you're watching or if you're just listening, go to YouTube, you can see the photo. That's pretty much how that night went. It was a lot of fun. But we played the Hampton Beach, just casino and ballroom.
Yep.
The next day, we've played there a couple times and it's a really cool venue. It's right on the strip. Hampton Beach. It's kind of like a beach boardwalk town, you know, but it's kind of wild during the winter because it's cold and they just kind of shut. It's like a ghost town.
Yeah, it was all boarded up. It doesn't even look like anything would be happening. And then our show was raging.
Yeah, show was raging. There was somebody, one of our crew members told us, I think actually it was our tour manager, Wiz, told us that, you know, one of the workers there said he'd been there for 40 years or something and he had never heard it be that loud. It was crazy. The crowd was amazing. Just amazing. Yeah. It's like everyone's kind of piled in. It's a smaller venue. It's like 2,500.
Yeah.
And it was sold out and everyone's just piled up in there on top of each other and everyone was raging. So much fun. So anyone who was at that show and the Atlantic City show, thank you guys so much for coming out. That was awesome.
Yeah.
One sad thing about the Atlantic City show. So I never get to coach any of like my son's teams or anything because I just can't because I'm always out of town. So I can't like commit to being a coach. But this season for his flag football, it was a buddy of mine was coaching and none of the other dads were really offering. So I was like, hey, look, I'll coach with you. I'll be the assistant coach, but I'm going to miss a couple things, you know? And he's like, that's fine. So I was actually able to make it to, I only missed one game and I missed like two practices. So it was really cool. I got to make it the whole season, made it to the championship. And of course the championship game is during our Atlantic City show. Oh, yeah. So I had to miss that. And I was like, oh, it's okay. I'll just have Rachel, my wife, you know, FaceTime me. So I'll watch the game through FaceTime. No, the game started at the exact same time our set started. Wow, so I was just like, fuck, I was so sad. And then I was even more sad. I got off stage and I looked at my phone and I just saw a text. You know, there was like the team text. And all I saw was, you know, it's okay. Great guy. Great game, guys. Thank you, coach, for everything you did. So I just knew. I was like, oh, we fucking lost. And we did. We lost. And what's a bummer is we lost to a team that we actually beat in the season, during the season. Wow. So whatever. It was a fun season. We had a lot of fun. It was a rad group of kids. And I'll have Luke actually on the YouTube there too. Post the photo, the team photo. I'll show you. Oh, did I show you this team photo?
No.
There's a kid. I'm going to show you right now. There's a kid. All the kids were awesome.
Yeah.
There's a kid on the team. His name was Dom, and he's 12 years old, seventh grade. Mm-hmm. And look at this kid. He's the middle. He's bigger than me. I'm 6 foot tall. Yeah. Like, I'm not like a small guy. I'm like 6 foot. I'm like 185.
Oh my gosh, I didn't realize.
He's bigger than I am. Like, by quite a bit.
Yeah. He could. Choke slam
you. Yeah, he's awesome. But he's like the sweetest kid. He's like a, you know, a gentle giant, you would say. But yeah, he's hilarious. It was a great, great team, fun season.
That's
so
awesome.
Bummer it's over. But I got to coach and that was super fun.
And they made it far.
They did really well, you know? They did really, really well. And then and now coming up Friday, this Friday, we have our last show of the year, Ruben.
Wow. That's crazy.
Oh wait, before I get into it. Your daughter is playing flag football now.
Yeah, yeah. She just started. Her first game was yesterday. And I'm really proud of her. Just she's been so hardcore into softball for the last few years and crushing.
Yeah.
You know, she's really passionate about it. And now seeing that kind of just without no one needs to tell her, oh, you have to play this. She just wants to do it.
She just does.
And she sees she's athletic and she seeing her out there, she's really comfortable and I can, you know, I see a future there for her in any sport. She loves being athletic and it's cool to see her do what she loves and it's fun to get to be able to support her in that.
Yeah. You know? It's cool when you see your kids like figure out what they're good at, what they enjoy, and then to start to thrive.
Yeah. Music. I'm so music and she loves music, but it's not something that, it's something she can do if she wants to, but for some reason, athletic stuff has come to her very naturally.
That's awesome.
And I love it. Yeah.
That's like with horses, with my daughter, like me and my wife, we didn't have a horse or have anything to do with horses growing up. And my daughter was just like, I want to ride horses. And we're like, all right. And that's what she does. It's pretty cool when they find their own thing, you know, pretty cool. But yeah, last show of the year coming up at the Forum. Big news, actually. It was sad at first, but ended up being cool. Beach Weather, the band that was going to open up, they had to back off the show. I believe I heard it was, I think the singer or one of the guys' wives, they're having a baby. So they aren't able to do the show anymore. Yeah. But we just got our good friends Bikini Trill. They're local. We hit them up and they're available for the show. So they're going to come open the show now, which awesome. Is always so much fun. So it is just going to be like a Friendsgiving. We got Sublime with Rome, who we love. Those are our boys. Now we got Bikini Trill, who is our boys, and Interrupters, who are just freaking awesome. And we love those dudes and girl. So it's just going to be a great night.
Yeah. Bikini Trill was when we had them on one of our tours. Mm-hmm. It was cool because they're all so talented and the music was very different than what else was on that tour. And they're such great people.
They are.
Big ups to all of them. Really, you guys are good. You guys are real good. And it's going to be cool to hang out with them. And honestly, everyone on that bill is our friends. It really is like our friends.
It is.
You know, the Interrupters we go way back with. I'm so excited to have all that music happening together. And it's going to be at a spot that's legendary. You know?
Yes.
It's a bucket list for me. It's a bucket list for every musician. If you're from LA or not, like it's an important spot. But especially if you're from Los Angeles, there's such like a rich history for that spot.
Oh, so, yeah. If you grew up watching the Lakers.
That's what I'm talking about.
Holy crap. That's pretty wild.
Yeah. The home of the most magical time for Los Angeles and the Lakers. One of the most. Absolutely. Other than Kobe, like that's... Anyway.
Yeah.
It's going to be an amazing show. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you haven't got your tickets yet for that, there is still some tickets left. Get them. It's going to be a rad night. You don't want to miss out. And it's our last show of the year. So you got to be there. Let's see here. What does that say? Oh. Other music news. New album is coming. It will be out next year. We don't have a set date yet. And we don't have a name or anything like that, but these songs are coming out real nice. We've got a couple right now that I'm very excited about. Me and Jared are just working away, writing, and I'm really excited to get some new music out, man. I cannot wait for you guys to hear this. We've got one right now that I just can't wait to play live.
It's exciting to hear.
It's gonna like be one of those live songs where people just lose their mind, and I cannot wait. It's gonna be awesome. But yeah, that's really it for the rest of this year. We got holidays coming up. And for the podcast, you guys, I am sorry I missed the last 2 weeks. I was sick 1 week. And then we had those shows. We were traveling. And when I got back from those shows, it was just, I needed to take a couple of days off. My voice was feeling tired. I was feeling burnt. So I missed 2 weeks of pod, but I wanted to get one out this week. And just kind of let you guys know the future of the pod. I'm only going to do one more podcast this year after this one. I'm going to do like a Christmassy New Year's pod. And I'm really just gearing up for next year. You know, we got a busy, busy time the rest of the year just with family stuff, holidays. I'm going on a crazy vacation. I'm taking my wife and kids to Costa Rica for 10 days, which is going to be awesome. So, yeah, just going to kind of use the rest of the year to chill with the family. You know, get my mind back and ready to work hard in the new year. So the podcast will be back, you know, next year. But for now, just this episode and one more to end the year.
I'll come by for that one if you want me to.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'll say it now.
But something is happening. Something big is happening when we go to Costa Rica. We leave for Costa Rica 2 days after Thanksgiving. I'm sending Pancho to like a training camp while I'm gone. Because obviously I'm not taking Pancho to Costa Rica. And we have, you know, this awesome lady who comes in and watches our house and watches our dogs and everything while we're gone. You know, it's a lot. We've got three cats. We've got an old dog right now who's 15 and she's like going through it. You know, her hips are bad. She's like starting to pee in the house. Like it's a lot. So I don't want to also leave her with this puppy, you know, who he's a good dog, but he needs to work on some things. So And I want him to be, I just want him to be a really good dog. I want to be able to bring him on planes. I want him to just be a really well-trained dog.
As good as a service animal, you know?
Yeah, so that this Thursday, I want him to go through all the training to be a service animal. Yeah. So this Thursday, they're coming to our house and we're going to do a full consultation with them. And then like a week before-ish, a couple days actually before Thanksgiving, he goes to camp and he's going to be gone. He's going to be gone for like 3 weeks. So I'm very, it's like I'm stoked because I know it's going to be awesome when he gets back. And then after those 3 weeks, when we have him, we're going to continue to do one a week with them, where they come to our house and they teach us how to, like, you know,
yeah,
continue on with what they were teaching.
You learn the commands and everything.
Yeah, so I'm very excited about that, but I'm so sad for him. I feel so bad because I know he's just going to be like, no, I'm back in a cage. Yeah. What happened? Yeah. Oh, man.
He's going to come back, but with a whole different, you know, it's, you build a special bond, and he's not going to forget that.
No, he's great. He's awesome.
They're going to probably treat him really well as well. Yeah. You know?
Because he's not a bad dog, but he's
just powerful. Huge. He's just powerful, you have to harness
that. They lied to me so bad at that freak. I was like, I want like a 35, like tops, like 40-ish pound dog, because I want to travel with this dog. So when I got Poncho, he was 25 pounds, and they're like, yeah, 35, 40 pounds. That's all he's getting. That dude's like 60 pounds already. And he's just a tank, right? Yeah. So it's like, you know, he's still like kind of jumping up and doing stuff like that. So it's like, I need him to learn some things. So we're sending him away while we're gone. I think it's the best time. We're going to be gone anyway.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, let's just do that. So
it's the best way for him to get care as well as get training.
Exactly. Exactly. So
we love you, Poncho.
We love you, but I think it's for the best. I think it's for the best. Yeah. But yeah, that's really all I got going on throughout the rest of this year. Sorry, I keep looking over here. I'm reading my sloppy ass notes I wrote for the trying to remember what I got next in the show. But man, did you watch this Jake Paul Tyson fight?
Yeah, I did.
It kind of went exactly as I thought it was going to go. It was just like everyone I knew. Well, not everyone, but, you know, most of my friends who don't really follow fighting or, you know, they're just like, whatever. And that's fine. But they're like, oh, my God, Mike Tyson's going to knock his fucking head off and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, that would have been great. Everyone in the whole world obviously was hoping that. But that it's just, he looked so old. And poor Tyson. I love Tyson. He's great. But he looked like a 60-year-old man trying to fight a 30-year-old man.
Yeah, I mean, it was very obvious that it just seemed very, it just seemed like a cash grab, but also
it was total cash
I really
grab.
Don't.
And that's fine.
I have my own view on it. I think it's terrible to, it just seems, there's so many things that are wrong with it. Mike Tyson didn't need to do that. He was already coming back in such a beautiful way with his journey through everything he's done, and then this was something where it's like, okay, now get in the ring and get beat up. Like, let's watch an old man get beat up.
He didn't really get beat up.
Yeah, but
like, he got hit a couple times.
And that's the thing too, though.
He got $20 million for that.
It was just a dance around, and I really don't like Jake Paul at all either. So it's hard for me to be like, oh yeah. There's, in my mind, it's tied to this type of mentality where it's like, there's nothing genuine about any of that, you know?
It was clearly a money grab.
Yeah, nothing but, real.
You know, for me, it was like, also it was free on Netflix. It's not like I paid $70.
It made everyone watch.
Of course.
We were almost forced to watch it.
Of course you're going to watch it. But I will say this, that holy crap, the fights before it were so good.
Yeah, I was leaving my recording session. I didn't see any of them. They were actual real fights, though.
They were real fights, and they were really good fights. What was it? The Katie Taylor and Amanda Serrano?
Yeah, I just saw the...
Yeah.
Holy
crap. Her headbutted eye. Yeah. Got headbutted like three times or something. And she kept fighting, and it was wild. Like, Katie won, but it was so close. And it was true. Like, I was talking about it with Luke earlier today, and I was like, it was very close. It was so close that you kind of have to give it to the champ. It's hard to lose your belt when it's that close. And then Luke was like, but Katie lost a point, and Amanda's, like, when they showed this, like, the stats after, like, Amanda's stats were much better. Hmm. And Katie lost a point. I don't know. All I know, it was a really, really amazing fight.
Yeah, those are real fights.
And then there was the Barrios and Ramos. Oh, mm-hmm. My God. That one ended in a tie. And it was, these guys were brawling. So, yes, mm-hmm. The Jake Paul Tyson fight was pretty boring and stupid, but we did get to watch some pretty good fights. It was free on Netflix.
Yeah.
Tyson got $20 million. Whatever. End of the day, everyone wins, right?
Yeah. No, I think we all lost by watching that.
We all definitely lost those 6 rounds of our life back, but or however, 8, whatever it was.
God, it was rounds of agony. Yeah. It was like ballroom dancing. That's all they did, man.
Oh, shit. But, you know, that fight had a lot of people watching it. But a little song that we were sent has had a lot more people watching it. Our very own T-Bird and Sarah's video, their Shit a Little Bit song, is now at 2.3 million views on our Instagram page. Unbelievable. Let's keep that going. Let's get that to 3 mil.
People love shit.
People love to talk about shit. And so do we. We're going to get into a little shit story segment of our own right now. Let's get into it.
I shit a little bit.
Right, so today's first shit story we have. God, that song is so good. Yeah. No wonder it has 2.3 million views on it. Can't get it out of my... I sing it
seriously,
all the time.
Seriously, it's in the back of my head. Just walking around. It pops into my head now at least once a day.
I sing it all the time. It's a good song. But yeah, today we're going to start off with... This isn't a listener that sent us a video. This was all over the news. You guys have probably saw it. I thought it was hilarious. I don't know if you saw it. Taylor Nibb, this girl who is running a triathlon, she's the winner. She won. Did you see this?
I did just see the video.
Here, I'll show it to you again. So she's running a triathlon. She's winning. She's about to win. And the camera guy's on her. And she looks right at the camera guy and goes, I just shit my pants. Don't film my ass. What a legend. You did see that?
I did see it.
All right. Well, Luke will pop it in then. I don't need to play it for you. I have it right here in case you didn't see it. But let's
as hard as she could. And she went all in.
So can you
not get my ass?
Thank you. Sorry. What a legend. Didn't even break stride. Yeah. Didn't break stride. I just shit myself. Could you not get my ass? And then she just keeps going. That is the legend of the shit game. Triathlon winner, Taylor Nibb.
To continue running.
Now we have the complete opposite. We have a shit denier. She came out and said, I shit my pants, man. Don't feel my ass. We have a shit denier. And I need you, because I don't know if you saw this one.
All right.
Because you don't follow sports a lot.
Not as much.
This was James Houston. He's a football player for the Detroit Lions, right? The Detroit Lions, their pants are white.
Yeah.
And he's running down the field, and he goes to, like, tackle a guy. Like a big pile up piles up, and he kind of gets in there to where his ass is facing the camera, and it's very clear that there's a discoloration. You did see this?
No.
It looks like he definitely like shit his pants, right? So the internet explodes immediately as it does, saying, oh my God, look at homie, shit his pants. He's still out there playing. This is crazy. He looks like he shit his pants. And then he comes on, like, he goes out like, on Twitter or something the next day, and he tries to defend himself, and he's like, no, I sat in Gatorade. I sat in Gatorade. Now, you tell me, Ruben.
All right.
Does this look like Gatorade to you?
Oh.
Does that look like Gatorade?
That looks...
I've never seen yellow and brown Gatorade.
That is diarrhea, right?
That is for sure diarrhea. He says... Poor guy. So he's a poop denier, and this is what I want from you guys, all right? He says he sat in Gatorade. If you haven't seen this, look up James Houston, Detroit Lions. I'm sure it will pop right up. It's pretty funny. Hey, he's still out there playing... Whatever, it's fine. But like, I think it would have been better if he just came out the next day and was like, yeah, guys, sorry, I shit my pants. Can you not film my ass? Like, like Taylor Nibb. We all need to learn from Taylor Nibb. But this is what I want. He says he sat in Gatorade. I have never seen yellow and brown Gatorade before. What I want from you guys is go onto our Facebook group and what flavor Gatorade is that? I want you guys to come up with great Gatorade flavor names that flavor would be, and I will discuss them on this next episode. But yeah, go look up James Houston, check that out, go to our Facebook group. I'm gonna start a list of all the amazing Gatorade flavors that you guys come up with, and we'll talk about the best ones next week on the episode.
How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO.
Oh, but enough of that. Thank you again, T-Bird, for that song. You are amazing, Sarah. You guys are the best. We love you. And now we are going to get into another new segment where we go through the internet and we find people on the internet talking shit on the Dirty Heads, and then we talk about it. Here we go.
I shit a little bit. I shit a little bit in my pants, oh no.
All right, here we go. Our first installment of Fan Watch. This isn't even really much of hating. It's just a more, I guess they're asking a question. And this comes from Liam McNaughton over on the Dirty Heads fan page. Yeah, I got spies over there. You will be on Fan Watch. He says, I saw someone commenting that the boys lip sync. They were complaining about the show last night. Has anyone else ever thought this? Just curious, because it seems absolutely ridiculous to me. Thanks, Liam. And then this was pretty funny. I love this one right here. It says, and then Paula Noto says, it's all over backing tracks, which is why I skipped going. Everything is programmed, same set list, visuals, etc. Saved $300 a night trip by not going.
Wow.
But hey, she's not wrong. We use some backing tracks. Backing tracks. I've said it before, like certain songs, like where I think it would be cooler for me to be walking around stage just rapping instead of trying to play guitar and stand at my mic. We're trying to put on a show. We'll put the guitar in the backing track. If you're watching any big acts, any big show, any big concert you go to, there's going to be some backing tracks.
Yeah.
We like to play to a click track. Yeah. And our visuals that are behind us, they're also to the click track. And we build this entire show before the tour starts. It's a lot of work to get the visuals on every single song to match up perfectly with the song. We like that. We like to build a show. We're not like a jam band, which is great. Like some people like different styles of concerts, and that's fine, to each their own. We're not a jam band, and we're not trying to be. We're trying to like put on a show.
Yeah.
So yes, before the tour starts, we build our whole show, and the whole thing is to a click track. And there is some backing tracks for sure. There is. So yeah, to each their own. You know, I could understand you saying, I don't want to go because everything's programmed and there's backing tracks all over and blah, blah, blah. And that's fine. But you know, at the end of the day, we're just trying to put on the best show we can. And that is how it is. That's the age that we are at in music. Any humongous concert I've seen in the last 10 years, there's backing tracks.
Yeah.
They're playing to a click track and there's backing tracks. That's just how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the most professional bands do play to a click track
because play to a click track.
Hard to... Some people can't play to a click track, and I feel like it takes a lot of practice to play to a click track and be so in tune with your instrument as well as with real time.
Yeah.
And being jammy is one thing, sure, but when we perform, we're trying, it's an experience, and as well as we want it to sound as good as possible.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it, and we're still performing very much so.
I mean, 90% of what you hear is live music being played on stage.
Yeah.
And then there's little tasty things throughout. You know, maybe in the chorus, we'll put like a little bit of vocals behind our vocals just to kind of pump it a little bit, you know, things like that. Or it could even be some nights it's like, hey, we've been on the road for a month and a half and, you know, me or Jared's like, oh, shit, I got a cold. Like my throat's like, can you give me a little more help in the choruses tonight? Like, I don't think I'm going to be able to really push it. It's like, yeah, we'll give you a little more. So we're just trying to make it sound as good as we can every night. And yes, we do put on the same show most of the time during our summer tours. But that's because we build the whole show before the tour starts, and that's just kind of like, here we go, we're doing this show.
And we still, even though we do that, we still change it.
We change it.
We still change songs. People still get special songs only on that one specific tour, and certain performances of songs that they've never heard before. There's different versions that we've played since in the last 5 years of certain songs that they've never heard before. And I think some people really like that. And of course, some people want to hear their favorite song exactly how it sounds on the record.
Yeah.
And then you still can't please everybody. So
you're never going to please everyone. Yeah. It's tough. And it's like, it's hard because you have these fans that have been coming to your shows forever, and they might come to, you know, 5-6 shows every summer. And then you have your fans who are new fans who have never been to a show.
This is their first time, yeah.
And a lot of times, like, it's half and half. Like, half the people at those concerts every night have never seen us live.
Yeah.
So we don't want them to miss out on hearing, you know, the big song. So we've got to play the hits. We've got to play everyone's favorite songs. I mean, it leaves us only a handful of a couple songs we can kind of interchange, you know? And we try to do the best at that we can. So, other than that, not hating, all love over here, just giving y'all a hard time. But honestly, going through this, 90% of these comments were saying, no, I've seen them, you know, they definitely don't lip sync. And some of them are funny because it's like, no, I've heard them be very out of tune before. Definitely not lip syncing. And it's like, yeah, that shit happens. Like, I'm not going to lie. Yeah. There's no way I'm saying we're up there just being perfect every night. That's impossible. So we're just happy you guys are coming out, and we hope you guys are enjoying it. And that's that. I was actually bummed. We were digging through trying to find something. I wanted to find like some real bad shit talking on the Dirty Heads, and I like couldn't find it. So I'm going to have to like talk to our team and be like, are you guys deleting bad comments? Because I need you to leave those up now because I want to do this new segment. So if you're out there and you're listening and you see a really bad, shitty comment, send it to us. Send it to our DMs and Instagram, Feeling Good with Duddy. Send it to us on our Feeling Good with Duddy page. Email us at feelinggoodwithduddy@gmail.com. If you see a really funny comment of someone talking shit on us, please send it to me. I would love to have it on this segment. But that's all I got for the fan watch for this week. But should we smoke some weed?
I think we should.
Let's do it.
Jaja is the best. Yes. Jaja is the best. Yes, yes. Jaja is the best.
All right, here we go. What are we smoking today, Ruben?
Today we are smoking some really good flower from our friends at Alien Labs.
Ooh, always nice.
Yeah,
always
Alien nice. Labs.
This thing right here, yeah?
Yeah, it's in that's the restash jar. That's my favorite way to store weed, is that right there. It goes on any like mason jar. Really simple. But yeah, the Alien Labs stuff we have today is BK Satellite, and the other one is Silver Spoon. And they both really remind me of the classic Jack Herrera. The BK Satellite has a more of a, the colors are a lot more like, there's some purples in there, some oranges, and the Silver Spoon is very green and yellow, light, like golden hairs. The other one's a lot like, they have such a crazy contrast. So what you're probably gonna be smoking is the BK Satellite.
Okay.
And in this joint is a little bit of both of those.
Mix it up.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm actually, my throat's been a little dry this last week, and I got the show coming up, so I like to use water filtration. This bong right here was actually made by a good friend of ours, Bill. He owns Golden Gate Glassworks. He makes amazing pieces. He's been making us pieces for years, and before every tour, he sends us out a little gift pack. This isn't one that he sent for tour. This is one he sent me for my home, which I've just made the official warehouse bong that we're in here. But he'll send us like a handful of bongs every tour, and they're perfect because they fit in a cup holder.
Yeah.
So you're on the bus, we're driving around, and they just sink right in the bus, right in the cup holder, and it's great. So at night, we put a koozie on the bottom of the bong, or like a koozie, and you just stick it in the cup holder. It doesn't move. It's all protected.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. So thank you, Bill. Golden Gate Glassworks, go check them out. They make amazing pieces. Bill's a great dude, and he's been hooking us up for years, so we very much so appreciate it. Let's give this a try. God, it smells so good. Now, wait, what was the name of this again?
The one that's got a little more purple in it is the BK Satellite. And yeah, it smells, has a very like Jack Sativa.
Very, very fresh.
Yeah.
Very, very fresh.
My buddy scented. Kyle, Alien Labs.
Let's see what we got going on.
Yeah, if I was your bud tender, I would say it's cerebral, the high, because it's, you know, the, a lot of the science behind all the sativa indica stuff, it's starting to, we're starting to find out that it's not necessarily, it's more of like, you have to think about it like aromatherapy, and the terpenes are really are what affecting your high and giving certain highs because of certain oils and terpenes that are present in these different strains of cannabis. And, but with this taste, a lot of the times the high would be something that's kind of cerebral and it would be euphoric. And, you know, those are my bud tender terms I would use.
I feel both of those things right now after hitting that. Man, I'm not going to lie. That was one of the best tasting bong tokes I've ever had in my life. It tasted so fresh and just like,
I feel like the bong too, I really, no BS. I feel like the bong really does have something to do with that.
Definitely. This thing delivery, is great.
The delivery of the, you know, like it just, something about it, everything, the ratio of water to glass to everything, it really does affect it's the taste. And that bong hits good.
It's good. I just missed a call from Cheese. Let's call him back and see what he has to say. You never know what this guy's going to say. I'll let him know he's on the podcast.
I was going to say,
hey, buddy.
Hey, I'm filming a podcast right now. You're on the microphone.
Oh, well, thank God I'm not cussing then.
Not yet.
What's up?
Wait, nothing. Yeah. I got Jared on the line. I need to talk to you about some very important forum stuff.
Okay.
Hopefully everyone listening is going to the forum show.
Of course they are.
They are.
All right, good. That's one thing. But call me when you're done and we'll get on it. And you guys have a good podcast, and everybody listening, I hope you're having an awesome day.
Hi, Cheese. It's Ruben.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Oh, yeah, here's Ruben.
Hi,
here
too.
Hey, Ruben. How are you, buddy?
High as hell.
Of course you are. Well, good.
Right on.
Well, hold on one second. Hold on. You guys hold on one second.
Okay.
Hey, Jared. Yo, we're on Duddy's podcast right now.
What's up?
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
What's Ruben's on here, too, and he is high. Jared. He's very high.
Hi, Jared.
Yeah, dick's up, boys.
Dick's up.
You know?
Hey, when you get a chance, I just wanted Jared to say hi to the fans.
Yeah.
But when you get a chance, call me afterwards, and we'll get back on the phone, and we'll talk about some grown-up business stuff.
I will call you in probably like 20 minutes.
Ruben, don't get him too high. We got to have a serious conversation.
I'll try.
Hey, Ruben.
Yes.
Hey, Ruben.
Yes.
Eat me out.
I will.
Gross.
Really? How? Like, how would you? Like, would I be as a baby or would I be
Oh, awful? Wow.
As a baby?
Yeah.
I'll take you. Baby. Yeah.
In the prone position.
Mm. Jared, I will fold you up and put you in my mouth completely.
And poetry. Speaking poetry.
Yep.
Okay, bye.
Bye. All right, bye, guys. I'll call you in a little bit.
All right.
Bye.
Hey, Jared. Jared, stay on. Daddy, bye.
That's my manager. Ugh. All right. Well, that was good.
During the perfect segment.
During the perfect segment. Alien Labs, thank you. Bill over at Golden Gate Glassworks, thank you. Y'all are the best. And now we're going to get into some Q&A. If you want to ask us some questions we will answer on the show, go to the Facebook page. You sign up there. I put up a post every week. You can throw your questions in there, and I answer some of them, but not all of them. And the ones I'm going to answer today are coming up. Here we go.
It's question time again. Answering shit, Q&A-ing with my friends. but I ain't answering that dumb shit. Ask me about pizza and I'm emptying my gun clip. It's Q&A time. Ask me about life and I'll tell you about mine.
All right. Today, our first question comes from none other than Tim Wardell. Question for Ruben.
Oh, what heck?
He says, what was it like playing with the legendary Voodoo Glow Skulls?
Wow. Hell. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. No, it was, honestly, that was where I got my quote unquote sea legs. Like, I learned how to tour with them.
Yeah.
Growing up, that was my favorite band. It made me feel like a part of something. They had an album called Band Geek Mafia. And, you know, that was something I really identified with, being being a band nerd. I was just like, man, this is cool. Like, and being a shy kid and being bullied and picked on. Then you finally feel like, oh, wow, I can stand up for myself. Mm-hmm. Because it's kind of hard to believe that sometimes when you're a young kid in high school and everyone's getting bullied. Everyone hates themselves or is insecure. It's like, oh, am I cool? Am I fitting in? So in that time, it was something where that really gave me a lot of like, oh, I can do something. So, you know, fast forward, I get in the band, and in 4 years, I toured all over the world with them. In those 4 years, I went to Europe 4 times. I went to the UK 4 times. We toured the whole entire the US. Every one of those times, we went to Mexico, went to Puerto Rico, went to Japan. You know, we went everywhere. And that band is like a cult. They're kind of like an underground, like, it's not everyone's cup of tea. It's very niche. It's like, you know, Frank's vocals, and it was so unlike anything else. And it's cool. That's why I really liked it. And I really owe those guys a lot. All of them, you know, Frank, Eddie, George, they were all like, they did it in the heyday. That they came up with Real Big Fish and Sublime and all the bands that were part of the Southern California music scene. Like, they were in there grinding it out in a white van driving across the US, just like all the other punk bands, you know, 14 guys in a van taking turns driving from California to Florida, pulling a trailer, blowing a tire, not getting paid, or sometimes not, you know, like sometimes playing for 10 people, sometimes playing for 10,000. It was cool and really special. And I really learned a lot about myself, and it made me a better trombone player. It wasn't all positive, and that's like, that could be a whole other thing, you know? But it really was important to my journey as a musician, because it taught me how to appreciate having nothing on tour and then having something, like really earning it. And like doing it because it's about the music, and then eventually making a little bit of money to where it's like, okay, I can buy myself dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a wild experience. Yeah. And I really loved it. Nice. Thank you for the question.
Good question. this one comes from Kristen Tyrell. Is there any song Dirty Heads or Roman Duddy will never perform live? One song, I've said it many times.
I already know.
Crazy Bitches will never be played again.
Next year's Stop set list
me.
Will have it.
Stop asking me to play that song. Kevin Torbeck says, when will Soledad be a guest on the show?
He's too big now.
I've been trying to get him.
He's too big now.
He's in the studio. He's working on his new album. Dude barely picks up my calls now.
Thinks he's hot shit.
Yeah. So, We'll see. I don't even know if he'll be sending me songs anymore. It's like, I think he's bigger than the show now. I don't know. We'll see what happens with Soledad, but I'd love to have him on the show. Matt Clem says, do you like to eat Rubens?
For me or in general? That's such a question.
I do.
If you haven't had a Reuben sandwich, you're missing out. I'll say that.
I do enjoy Reubens.
Straight up. Turkey Reuben also. I know that some people give me some hate.
Turkey Reuben?
Turkey Reuben is a thing.
What do you think of a turkey Reuben, Luke?
Cantor's Deli.
What would you put on a Reuben? Thank you.
Yeah. I thought it was...
No, it's a... Pastrami. It's pastrami. Pastrami. You can do a corned beef. You can do corned beef.
Or you can do turkey. Try it. Cantor's Deli, Turkey Reuben. You go and have that. You tell me it's not good.
I'm sure it will be good.
Damn right.
But that doesn't, that's...
It's not just wild. A sandwich.
A turkey Reuben. Yeah. Okay.
I love Reubens though.
Reubens are good. Reubens are good. This one is from Aaron Genko. Duddy, Thanksgiving is right around the corner. What is your favorite Thanksgiving side dish? Love from Utah. Thank you very much, Aaron. My favorite side dish? It's hard. Like, I love stuffing. I love mashed potatoes. My mom makes, we call it orange and brown. It's just like the sweet potato casserole, but the whole top is like, she makes like this crispy, like gooey pecan caramelized, you know, layer. Thus orange and brown. And it's just, it's like crack. That's pretty bomb too. I like it all. What's your favorite side?
You know what? It's, I feel like it's a really important side is I love potatoes. Yeah. And potatoes au gratin or mashed potatoes. I feel like
potatoes au gratin are nice.
It's so important to Thanksgiving for me. Like, I love turkey, ham, and stuffing, and you have to have mashed potatoes and gravy. Mm-hmm. I think that mashed potatoes and gravy is probably my favorite side.
You gotta have the gravy. I'm not a big turkey guy.
Oh, fucking
turkey's okay. I love ham's Reuben. Great. This guy loves fucking turkey.
I do.
That's why you're always so tired.
Turkey. I love turkey. I do love turkey, though. Yeah, it is one of my favorite meats.
Let's see here. This one comes from Ernest Greisman, and he says, any special infusion recipe recommendations to traditional Thanksgiving dishes? Oh, I see.
Infusion
recipe.
Oh, he's talking about...
Oh, I see.
The devil's lettuce.
Put some
jazz cabbage
in there.
This is not, by the way.
No, I haven't put any weed in my Thanksgiving stuff. I'm tired enough after after you eat that meal, you feel like you've done drugs.
Yeah. And if you don't, then you have more self-control than me.
Let's see here. Sarah Hardesty says, if you could teach Poncho how to do one human thing, what would it be? That's funny. Get a job.
Do your taxes.
I mean, talk, right? Wouldn't that be the best? Or would that suck? Because then you'd just be like, take me for a walk right now, bitch. And you're like, fuck. Oh, I don't know. Cook? And then he could, like...
cut the grass?
Pick up his own shit?
Yeah. Yeah. That would probably be a good one.
I
mean,
I would... If I could teach him to like cook really well, that would be kind of dope. He's like, Poncho, go make me dinner. I'm starving. And he's just in the kitchen. Just like, I'm going with cooking. What would be your thing? You better not say suck. Oh, God.
Yeah, I think picking its own shit up would be pretty rad. Because nice. Then you could just have a little best friend that you don't have to clean up after.
Yeah.
And they could, you know. Talking would feel, I feel like that's not a good idea.
Yeah.
Because your dog, depending on your dog's personality, you might not want to hear what it has to say. Yeah.
What if the second that you could talk, he's like, I fucking hate you. Yeah. God, you just like, no. He's like, I've hated you this whole fucking time. I hate you so much. Stop touching me.
Yeah. Give me some space.
You'd be like, oh my God. He's like, take me back to the shelter.
Take me back. Yeah.
Take me back to Cleveland. They're going to kill me in a week. I'd rather die.
Train you.
This one's for you because I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I don't really I don't go to dispensaries or whatnot. But Jennifer Marie Aldrich says, what's your favorite dispensary within the LAOC San Diego
really?
Area?
There's a couple that are really good. I feel like the Jungle Boys, I really love their cannabis. And they have fair prices. I would go to the Jungle Boys, either one of their locations in East LA or downtown LA. I feel like the Cure Company or CCC, City Compassionate Caregivers, also close to that area, Arts District. It's a big gray building with an orange CCC on it. I love them. The Cure Company, you know, they have reasonably priced cannabis and all the goods. They're the places that are putting people first, because there's places that unfortunately have to charge a lot for taxes and stuff. But even like, there's a lot of grassroots places in LA that have been there for a long time. And it kind of, you get a bad rap because it's in a rough city. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to be so hippie and like, oh, you know, peace and love. But you're in this crazy ass grimy city where there's a lot of crime. So, you know, it's hard to be everything you want to be as a cannabis dispensary, but yeah. I feel like those ones are definitely a good start. The Catalyst ones, they're more of a chain. I feel like those also, they, you can get good stuff at a good price. There's so many. I personally just like to build.
You could literally go on.
Yeah, I could speak for an hour on it. I'll say this. Grow your own cannabis, befriend your local growers, and support them. That's all.
Boom. And another cannabis question comes from Mike Carter. He says, where's the coolest and or craziest spot you've ever fired up a joint? I think I've talked about this one time, but we played a show in Scranton.
Scranton, Pennsylvania.
And it was like up in the mountains, and there was like a water park not too far from where the venue was, and our bus was staying the night at the venue. So me and Jared, we kind of just went walking around, and that's how we found the water park. We just like came up on it. We're like, oh my God, there's a fucking water park, but it's in the middle of the night. It's like 2 a.m. But you can just walk right in. There was nothing stopping you from just walking right into the park. So we were just cruising around the park, and then we climbed up, you know, one of the top of one of the ladder things or the stairs. And it was one of those water slides that was just a tube, like a long tube. So we just like walked down the tube for a long ways until we like got into like a part where it like opened up, and we were just sitting in there, and we just lit a joint inside that fucking tube in the middle of the water park in the middle of the Scranton Mountains. Pretty funny. Yeah. I have a good one.
I have a good one. When I went to Japan to play with Voodoo.
Damn, you smoke in Japan.
Yeah, and they told me, you know, and anyone that knows it about it, that doesn't know about it, it's very illegal in Japan, any small amount. So I didn't bring anything into the country, but the camera crew that was working the event that that we played, which was like a punk rock festival with Teenage Bottle Rocket, The Vandals, some really badass Japanese ska punk bands, and then Voodoo. The Bronx, amazing. Oh, yeah. That was one of the most memorable shows I've been to, was watching the Bronx in Japan from behind the stage. And there was like 20 or 30 or 40 people. It was like in the middle of this shuffle of people coming from one venue to another. But anyway, I ended up smoking on the rooftop of a building. In where we were was Shibuya, right? Shibuya.
I think it's pronounced Shibuzi.
It's not Shibuzi. Shibuya. and it was on the rooftop with a couple guys from some of the bands who will remain nameless, and then the camera crew. And they had some amazing weed, and they had it rolled in flavored papers. So it was like almost menthol. Mm. The weed was so good, and I got really, really, really high, and I fell down the stairs right after we smoked.
Well, of course you did.
I remember walking down the stairs. I fell down like 3 stairs, and then I was cool. But yeah.
Nice.
Rooftop Japan.
Rooftop in Japan. Last one for the day. Thank you guys so much for listening. This one comes from Moundy Gao. I think we've answered one from this before. I think I tried to say that name before. I'm going to ask what I asked Catastro during their live stream. What's your favorite cookie? What's your favorite cookie, Ruben?
Probably chocolate chip walnut.
Chocolate chip walnut. Okay.
Classic chocolate chip with walnuts is really good combination. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think just like a classic chocolate chip cookie has got to be the best. It's got to be the best. It's hard to beat a warm, freshly baked chocolate chip cookie.
Yeah. With walnuts.
Yep. Well, thank you guys so much. Episode 133. I hope you guys all have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and we will see you guys soon. Peace. Love y'all.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.